Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Afghanistan. I welcome Bill Raggio, the senior fellow of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. He and his colleague Tom Jocelyn and their colleagues run the Long War Journal. Bill, a very good evening to you. Joining the leadership in Afghanistan is a Haqqani Network relative. Who is he? What is his significance? And what did the U.S. say of him when he was in custody? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Yes. So late last week, the Taliban made additional announcements, the appointments to its new government. One of these individuals who is named as the leader of the governor of Logar province. This is a central province right on the outskirts of Kabul. It's a key province that you would want to secure. The Taliban named an individual known as Haji Mali Khan to be the governor there. He is the uncle of Sirajuddin Haqqani, who's the Taliban's deputy emir and its current minister of the interior. Sirajuddin is arguably one of the most powerful Taliban leaders, if not the most powerful Taliban leader, closely tied to Al-Qaeda. The United Nations identified Sirajuddin as an Al-Qaeda leader. So, you know, what does that make Al-Qaeda? What does that make the Taliban? But Haji Mali Khan, the U.S. actually detained him in 2011, and he was in a prison for 8 years. Before his detention, he was the right hand of Siraj Haqqani. He filled in numerous leadership roles for the Haqqani Network. The Haqqani Network, that's an integral part of the Taliban, operates in eastern and central, northern, and even southern Afghanistan. Also in Pakistan, Haji Mali Khan, just a very influential Taliban figure. He was released in 2019, exchanged for, along with two other Haqqani leaders, including Anas Haqqani, who is Siraj's brother. And they were freed for an American and an Australian who were captured by the Haqqanis and held in custody. They were professors at the American University. So 2 years later, he's a senior leader in the Taliban's government.
Bill, remind me of the Haqqani Network's involvement in the assassination of CIA officers during the Obama administration.
Yeah, this is a combat outpost Chapman, which occurred in, I believe it was December 31st, 2009. Combat outpost Chapman was in eastern Afghanistan in a district that was heavily influenced by the Haqqani Network. The Haqqanis were very much more subtle in their control and influence in the districts. They didn't seek to openly govern them. where they sort of allowed the Afghan government to pretend it was in control. This one district where Combat Outpost Chapman, this is where U.S. was directing strikes against Al-Qaeda and top-level Haqqani and Taliban leadership in Pakistan. This is the drone campaign that we documented for well over a decade. And so the attack was actually carried out by the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan. But there is – and the Haqqanis never took credit for this. But there is, without a doubt, a Haqqani role in this attack. The a Jordanian was recruited by the movement in Taliban in Pakistan. He went to the base. He pretended he had information on top al-Qaeda leaders, Zawahiri and bin Laden. And he was brought in. He wasn't searched. He had a suicide bomb and he detonated at the gate and killed several CIA operatives and security guards that were at that base. Again, the Haqqanis didn't advertise its role in this, but they without a doubt helped identify the target and helped that help that Jordanian suicide bomber reach his destination in order to conduct that attack. Nothing happens like that on Haqqani territory without the Haqqanis at least knowing what's happening, at the very least. And in a case like this, the Haqqanis are going to want to have a hand in that to ensure the attack was successful. And that attack was indeed successful. It disrupted drone operations for weeks and if not months. It was a major blow to the CIA. Security at all U.S. bases in Afghanistan had to be relooked. How the CIA was operating in eastern Afghanistan was reevaluated as well. So it was a significant attack. And I believe it was probably the largest loss of CIA personnel in a covert operations that I can think of in history. But I may be wrong on that, John, but as far as I know, I can't think of any type of attack where the CIA suffered more casualties than that.
Another Taliban appointment most recently that you're evidencing, Bill, the Kabul province, around the capital of Kabul, a Taliban commander. Who is he and what is he linked to?
Yeah, this one was interesting. Just as much as I was intrigued by Haji Mali Khan, who I've been tracking for over a decade, Kari Barial, a guy the U.S. military claimed they killed in the mid-2010s, they thought he was dead. This is a guy who was part of what used to be called the Kabul Attack Network. This was the confluence or the syndicate of the Taliban, al-Qaeda, of course, which includes the Haqqanis, Lashkar-e-Taiba, Hezb-e-Islami Gulbuddin. All of these groups pulled their resources together to launch its attacks against U.S., against coalition forces, against Afghan forces, NGOs, civilian targets, including hotels. Kari Barial was a key leader in that. I've been tracking him for at least 14, 15 years. And ironically, before this appointment, I testified in a case recently in Washington as an expert witness where the U.S. was suing Iran. U.S. Soldiers who were either killed or wounded or their family members obviously suing Iran for its involvement in supporting the Taliban. And the evidence for that was significant. Part of the evidence that we came on, again, this was before the appointment, so Kari Barial was very much on my mind in October while doing the testimony. He received cash from Iran to carry out these attacks. This was happening well over a decade. There's even a slide, if you go to the article of Mongol Journal, I reproduced it. We had an intelligence report declassified. He's identified on there. And he took money from a Taliban official who had close links to Iran. And that money was funneled to Kari Barial to execute these attacks. He's now the governor of Kabul province. Again, Kabul obviously is both the province and then the capital of the country. So he's responsible for security in the heart of the Taliban government. This is a guy who's responsible for killing probably dozens, scores, if not hundreds of Americans in and around Kabul, given his activities. And the Taliban has made him the governor of Kabul.
The report by the U.S. military and the ISAF that Barial was killed, this goes back to January 2011. Was there a martyr tape in that event? Did the Taliban or the Haqqani network or Iran attempt to deceive us about that report?
There was never any confirmation from the Taliban that he was killed. They never released a martyrdom statement. And if I recall, I think they actually said he wasn't killed. But so the intelligence report that I'm referring to that was declassified for the trial, that report was written sometime, I believe, in July 2013. So clearly the U.S. military realized at some point that it actually didn't kill Kari Barial. My understanding is they thought they killed him again at a later time. but clearly that's not true as well. You know, some of this could be related to that. Maybe they thought they got him and they didn't. Some of it could be related to that. There could be other individuals named Kari Barriel. I haven't run across any of them, but that certainly is a possibility. But I suspect it was just the, you know, it's difficult to confirm these things. Like, you know, John, as we, Tom and I always say, these guys are vampires. Unless you, you know, you drive a stake through the heart, chop off the head and expose them to sunlight, you don't really know. You don't, you can't be sure that you killed them. Unless you have Kari Barriel's corpse and a DNA sample, you're not really certain if he was killed in a raid or not.
The report of his aid from Iran, this is the Quds Force. In other words, he was an operative of the Soleimani, the man the Trump administration targeted, killed in 2020. So we're looking at a man who worked for Soleimani, and he is now the governor of Kabul province. Bill, that sounds like a significant post, is it? This Kabul province surrounds a city of, last time I checked, 3 to 5 million.
Yeah, John, you couldn't be more correct. You know, just the Logar, obviously Kabul would be the most important. The Taliban is basing their government in Kabul this time around. Before, it was largely administered outside in Kandahar from 1996 to 2001. But now it's Kabul. They're going to want to secure it. That is a key posting. The posting of governor of Kabul, Governor Logar, Wardak, Parwan, the provinces surrounding Kabul, those provincial governor postings are probably more important than 90% of the ministerial posts that have been put out by the Taliban. Obviously, defense and interior and intelligence and a couple other posts, the ministerial posts would be more important. But these are, you know, these are top tier postings that Barriel and Khan received. They were rewarded for their years of hard work, and in Khan's case, for 8 years of imprisonment. They're now serving the Taliban. This is the Taliban. You know, they don't forget. They take care of their own. They take care of, you know, several former Guantanamo. I think we had 5 or 6 former Gitmo detainees are now senior Taliban leaders, and several others who were detained by the Taliban. The Taliban, its government is made up of Taliban hardliners. All Taliban are hardliners, and they haven't given a single posting out to an individual who is outside of the Taliban sphere.
So we have two names now from the Taliban warfighting. These men are now in a position to govern what we know is an ongoing catastrophe, the famine that has already gripped Afghanistan. The UN says half the country's at risk of food insecurity, including millions of children. And these are the men in charge of feeding that population or not. Bill, if I'm thinking USAID, I'm not thinking that you're going to want to have a conversation with Barriel or Khan. These are not men you would call up and who would be sympathetic to your need to feed people.
Yeah, I mean, you are correct. I agree with you completely. However, I don't think that's the perception in the U.S. government. The U.S. government has been practicing servile diplomacy with the Taliban for the last 4 or 5 years now, even longer. They were eager to leave Afghanistan. The consequences be damned, and how, you know, and now they're eager to reengage. For some reason, they want to end the endless wars, but now want to reengage in Afghanistan and put U.S. taxpayer dollars in the hands of the Taliban. And if the Taliban, real quick, if the Taliban are so concerned about food insecurity and all this, why are they continually having parades of their military held throughout Kabul? I just watched one over the weekend where, you know, helicopters flying and hundreds of trucks, and that's fuel and effort and resources being poured into just a parade. Can't those resources used to be feed the people? I don't think the Taliban care about that. The Taliban care about getting our money, and they'll use it for their own purposes. Feeding the people, that's secondary. As long as they govern, as long as they are in control of Afghanistan, that's what the Taliban wants.
Bill Rajow, a senior fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. He and Tom Jocelyn and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal. We're going to turn to ISIS. ISIS is in Afghanistan. How and to what end? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Bill Raggio, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, senior fellow. He and Tom Jocelyn and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal. ISIS. ISIS is in Afghanistan. It opposes the Taliban. And we have this from the New York Times reporting within these days. When the Taliban, hardline Sunni Muslims, seized power in August, they vowed to end decades of bloodshed and sought to reassure Afghan Shiites that they would not again be their targets, as they were during the group's previous rule from 96 to 2001. This time around, the Taliban have allowed Shiites to observe the holy holiday of Ashura. They dispatched a Shiite cleric to do outreach in Shiite communities. They visited Shiite mosques to demonstrate solidarity. And they vowed that the new government would keep them safe. What we have to answer that is a series of attacks against mosques by suicide bombers taken credit by the ISIS. So the question always, what role is ISIS playing in the new Afghanistan under the control of what is presented as the generous and tolerant Taliban? Bill, your measure with Tom has been that the ISIS are not strong enough to overwhelm Taliban. But how do you see them going forward into 2022? What can they do to in some way weaken the Taliban?
Yeah, John. So the Islamic State Khorasan province, they're playing the role of the spoiler. They're able to launch, it seems to be, one large scale or medium scale attack against soft targets. Think of these as mosques. One of them was a military hospital, but it was a hospital, not a military base or a secure government facility. They're using suicide tactics to do this. So the Islamic State can, and then there's these smaller bombings that we're seeing, either IEDs and whatnot, that are having a much smaller effect, getting much less press. So that's what the Islamic State can muster right now. I don't think they have the capability, at least in the short to midterm. Think of that as from now till, say, up to 2 to 3 years, to threaten the viability of the Taliban and its rule in Afghanistan. The Islamic State does not have foreign support. It doesn't have Pakistan and Iran supporting it like the Taliban did against the U.S. and Afghan government. It doesn't have allied jihadist groups that support it like the Taliban did, like the Taliban had the movement of Taliban in Pakistan, Al-Qaeda, a host of Pakistani and Central Asian jihadist groups backing it. And it doesn't control any territory inside of Afghanistan. So its ability to influence events in Afghanistan are limited to terror attacks, to killing people, to, in some cases, spectacular attacks. I don't think, this is bad for the Taliban from a public relations standpoint. I just maintain that unfortunately, in the press, I think what we're seeing is that this means to the press that the Islamic State is the real threat that emanates from Afghanistan because they're bloody terrorists. But the real threat to me, and it should be to everyone, is the Taliban, because they are also bloody terrorists, as we witnessed over the last 20 years, who have alliances, who have state sponsors, other state sponsors. It's a state itself. It doesn't need state sponsorship, but it has allies with Pakistan. And I mean, it remains to be seen what its relationship is with Iran now, but I think Iran is quite comfortable with the Taliban in control. And it's closely allied to Al-Qaeda and a host of terror groups. I mean, I know which one seems to be the greater threat. And it isn't the group that doesn't control territory, that can only muster the strength for, an occasional, a weekly terror attack. And, it doesn't control the apparatus of the state.
And at this point, then, the attacks on the Shiite mosques are soft targets. And that's the way we should regard these, soft targets for spectacular raids. Bill Raggio, he is a senior fellow of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He and Tom Jocelyn keep the Long War Journal, peering into darkness visible, Afghanistan. CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Kokoda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Kokoda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Kokoda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at Kokoda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here,
right now. It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No.